If you have your scriptures with you this morning, we're in John chapter 21 this morning. In your pew Bible, if you want to use one of those, it's page 907. We're actually on the last chapter of the Gospel of John. We've covered 21 chapters in about a year and a half. Next week we'll finish it up. We'll do the first part this week, and then we'll wrap up next week. And so it's been a blessing to me. I hope you've fallen in love with Jesus maybe for the first time, or maybe you've rekindled that love as you've discovered who Christ is and how there's life in his name, eternal life, resurrected life even now that you can experience. The last couple weeks we've been on the resurrection appearances of Christ. 2 weeks ago he showed himself to Mary Magdalene and the apostles and the disciples, once in the morning and once in the evening, and then 8 days later to doubting Thomas. And this morning we come to the third appearance of our Lord to seven of the disciples. And as he just wants to minister to them, you'll see as I go through this, I think he's getting ready to send them out for work. But try to get yourself in the mindset of the disciples who'd walked with Christ for 3 years and how they utterly failed, you know, in his weakest moment as he's getting ready to go to the cross and forsook him. And then seeing him raised and the questions that that might have in your mind in your relationship with Christ. And that's what we'll walk through this morning. What were they thinking? And what's Christ doing for his people at this time? So we'll pray and then we'll walk through this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray your spirit would teach us this morning that they wouldn't be just words on a page. They wouldn't be just words from this guy up at a pulpit, but they would be words that you wanted your people to hear. And so, Lord, I pray, Spirit of God, you would open our hearts and minds to receive the truths that you have this morning. That we, Lord, that we would know these are living and active, powerful words that were meant to change us, to convict us where we need convicting, to lift us up where we need lift us up, but all to point to Christ, to rest in Christ, and to be changed by Christ and to follow Christ. So, Spirit of God, we pray that you do this work this morning. Amen. So look at 21 verses 1 through 14. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat. You'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This ends God's reading this morning. We come now to the epilogue or conclusion of John. Last week we wrapped up chapter 20, and it ended with kind of a crescendo with doubting Thomas making his bold declaration after he saw Jesus' the prince in his hands and the side, he makes this bold proclamation, "My Lord and my God." Jesus told Thomas, "You have believed because you have seen, but blessed are those who have not seen yet believe." And John, as he's concluding chapter 1, he makes this statement. He says, "All these signs were written in this book that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you would have life in his name." And you would think that the chapter and the book would close there, right? It just seems like this big buildup, and then this big just kind of stamp, and that's it. To the point where many scholars wrestle with if chapter 21 is an addition, that it's not part of the original manuscript. It just seems like chapter 20 ends with this big crescendo, and then like, why is this added? And so many scholars wrestle if this was added. I don't think it was, and most scholars don't think it was. They still think John wrote these things. The earliest manuscripts that we have, all the manuscripts that we have of the gospel, contain this chapter. So it's not like there's some of these manuscripts lying around where chapter 21 is not there. This is included. And so even though chapter 20 was a big crescendo, I think chapter 21 is a means of John concluding and tying up some details of the Lord. I mean, there's probably people in the church wondering, well, what happened to Peter? You know, he denied Christ 3 times. What happened to his relationship with the Lord? And the Lord is risen, so what does that mean for the church? What do we do now? So I think John and God gave us chapter 21 to help us out with some of these questions. I also think chapter 21 is recorded for us who fear moving forward in our faith. I think chapter 21 is here also to help us who fear moving forward in our faith. Maybe we're reluctant of serving God and being in his church for many reasons. So what do I mean? See, in the midst of the great excitement of the Lord's resurrection, I believe the disciples would have some typical fears that with everything that happened the last few days, they would have some uncertain thoughts about their relationship with themselves and with Jesus. Fears like, I wonder if Jesus even sees me as one of his disciples. I mean, I couldn't even pray with him when he came to me and said, "Could you pray with me? My soul is really, really troubled." I couldn't even pray with him. And then when the Roman guards come, they fled like scared people. And they just watched and stood by and observed while he was crucified. You know, how would you think? How would you feel with your relationship with the Lord? Is it good? Is it good right now? What's he thinking of me? You know, I failed. I failed him miserably. Is he okay with me? Does he embrace me? Am I okay? As Christians, we all have moments of failure. Moments of sin, and though you repent of it and you're forgiven of it, you may feel that the Lord might not want to use you again for a gospel witness or a gospel ministry. Maybe you think that the Lord will despise you if you just try to serve him because of your failings. This morning, our text reminds us that though these men have failed, the resurrected Lord Jesus wasn't done with them yet. He wasn't done with them. He's not done with you yet either. Whether you're young, whether you're old, if you're breathing, he's not done with you yet. This morning he's going to remind us of some great truths to fuel us into future service for his gospel, for his kingdom, fuel to energize us, to quicken us, to motivate us, and to empower us to move forward. We are called to move forward in our walk with the Lord. And we can do that in many ways, but this morning we'll look at it as the idea we get fuel to move forward by past life lessons. Remember, over and over in the scriptures, it'll say, remember, remember, remember. And so this morning as we begin, I want you to think that when you think you can't move forward, that you can't grow in your walk with the Lord, that you can't be an instrument to be used in His church out in the world, here and in the community, know this. Remember the moments of the Lord's great power in the past. Remember those moments. Let's begin and walk through this in verse 1. It says, "After this, Jesus revealed Himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed Himself this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others, and His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.' They said to him, 'We'll go with you.' They went out and got into the boat but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, 'Children, do you have any fish?' They answered Him, 'No.' He said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some.' And so they cast it in, and they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. And the disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.'" We'll stop there. So we have this account of Jesus. He shows Himself to seven of the disciples. It was the third time that He revealed Himself as the resurrected Lord. This time it took place up in Galilee. It's about 75 miles north of Jerusalem. The first sightings of Jesus were down in Jerusalem. Remember, they were celebrating the Passover, and that's where He was crucified. So He's down in Jerusalem, and He resurrected in Jerusalem. This revelation of Christ and His resurrection body is up in Galilee. So not only is He showing Himself down in Jerusalem, He's showing Himself back at home base where most of the ministry occurred. It gives veracity to the story. It's not they just saw Him here. They're seeing Him here, and He'll show Himself to other places as we learn in other books. So there's the seven of them, and Peter wants to go fishing. So they're like, "Yeah, that sounds like a good idea." It's nighttime. I don't know if you ever fished at night. It's unique. I've done it growing up with my brothers and stuff. We would go and catch catfish at night. It's very unique and different. These people, they would fish at night because when you brought in your fish, you could sell it at the market as fresh. And so that's why you would fish at night rather than through the day. And most of the time when it's hot out, you don't do very well either. But after fishing all night, it says they caught nothing. So it makes me feel better as a fisherman. I do fish occasionally. I've gone fishing for trout on the first day of trout in April many, many times. And many, many times, as Joseph and Karina will attest, we catch nothing. It can be very, very discouraging. We'll only go for a few hours. These men fished all night. Throw your net in. Troll along. Bring it in. It's nothing. Just wet. Seaweed, whatever, grass. It can be very, very discouraging. But just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Him, and He says, "Children, got any fish?" "No." "Throw your net on the right side, you'll find some." So they drop it in. No, they fished all night, right? Nothing. This guy hollers, "Throw it over there." They get this catch that's so big. I don't know if you ever caught a fish on a pole, how they pull. Imagine 153 fish in this net, and it's just miraculous. It's just remarkable. And John starts to remember. And he already knows. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. And I think for John, what he's remembering is an incident from several years ago when Jesus first started His earthly ministry. As He's starting to teach and preach, the crowds are gathering around. And so it's too big, too many people on the beach. So Jesus gets in a boat with Peter, and they go out with some other boats, and they go out just a little bit. And Jesus starts teaching. He starts preaching. It's a great and wonderful message. And at the end, He says, "Peter, throw your net in." Peter goes, "Master, I've fished all night, but if you want me to, I'll throw it in." And they throw the nets in, and again, several boats had trouble bringing all the fish in. And in that incident, from several years ago when Jesus witnessed this and Jesus was able to do this. It's like he took a step back, and this is what he says. He says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And as R.C. Sproul would say, Peter started to realize he was in the presence of the holy. I mean, Peter, these professional fishermen are fishing all night, and Jesus says to throw them in, and it's a catch like no other. And so Peter becomes afraid at that time, and Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." So things are starting to click. They're starting to remember. For John and Peter and the other disciples, they remember and they know it's the Lord. It's him. They remembered the moment of the Lord's great power from the past, and they started to make their way into the shore. So when you struggle to move forward and know what to do next, remember his great power and how he's worked in the past in the scriptures and just even in your own history. See, when you realize that you can't serve Jesus in your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your own knowledge, in your own power, you're actually at a very good place. Rather than not serving him, rather going and doing what he's calling you to do, if you listen and you're open to his instruction and you obey him, you'll see his power work through you. These men caught fish. Everywhere in the gospel, these men go fishing, they catch nothing. Professional fishermen. There's no incident where they're in here and they catch fish on their own strength. It's when Jesus shows up and he tells them what to do. And so when you think, I can't do this, I can't do that, there's no possible way, but yet you feel this nudging of Jesus says, I need you to do this. I need you to help here. I need you to serve here. I need you to go call someone. Say, Lord, help me, and remember his great power, and he will empower you to do it. They fished all night. They didn't catch a thing. But when they heard Jesus and obeyed him, they caught all kinds of fish. And now they're called to catch men with the gospel. The resurrected Lord is still at work. So as you pray for your children, as you witness to your family and friends, as you try to lead a Sunday school class, as you try to help with youth group and serve at PEP or the clothes closet or the ministries of Pick Air or whatever it might be, don't rely on your own strength. It's okay. You know, every time I get up here, I am scared to death. I really am. Come Monday morning, I'm questioning, like, what am I doing? But you go in faith. You go in trust. I remember his power in the past. I remember him, what he did the week before. I remember him being able to catch all kinds of fish. So I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go do it and let the results to the Lord. So remember these fishing stories. Hunters and fishermen like to tell all kinds of stories. You know, my brother, I have three older brothers, and there's this one, he can catch fish just by probably putting nothing on a hook. He just goes. Again, my kids can testify to this. We go with my family on the first day of trout, and we'll go. My brother and my dad's in a boat, and so we're out there. We're trying, you know, power bait. We're trying rooster tails and all these things. We're trying to catch fish. My brother over there, caught another one. Look, I caught another one. So I'm trying to help my kids catch a fish, and I can't. But you know why I keep going fishing? Because I think someday I will. I'm going to keep catching a lot of fish. So I go. It's the same with hunting. You know, it's kind of silly to go sit out in the rain. It's silly to sit out when it's freezing cold. But you know why I go? Because the week before, somebody said they saw this huge buck in the area. And I got it on my trail cam. And he's in the area. And so you go and you sit. Because you think maybe, you know, that buck will come through. And so when the Lord calls you, when he needs you to do something in his ministry, as you want to move forward, remember his power. Remember the fishing stories. Remember these fishing stories. He will tell you where the fish are. And his timing. Remember, they fished all night, but in his timing, he showed up and he said, now drop it there. So in his timing, just keep going and trust in his power. Just remember the fishing stories of Jesus and move forward in your walk with the Lord. So when fear says you have no power to do that kind of ministry, you don't have power to do that, say, that's right. but Jesus does. Amen. When fear says, you can't do that, say, yes, that's correct, but Jesus can. Amen. And walk in that. But walk in that. But what happens when you fail? I mean, really mess it up. That leads us to our second point. Remember the lessons of failure. Be changed by them and not paralyzed by them. So it says in verse 7 there, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off the land, about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Peter, he's so excited that he grabs his clothes because he hardly had anything on. When you were fishing, you didn't want to get your clothes all wet and dirty and stuff, so you would remove most of them. But here, when he knows it's the Lord, he grabs them, he wraps them around himself, and he jumps in and he starts making his way into the shore. It's about 100 yards away. The other ones stayed in the boat and are trying to bring the fish in. And when they got to shore, they saw the charcoal fire and the fish laid on it and the bread. Charcoal has a very distinct smell. Now, when I smell charcoal, I automatically think of summer barbecues. My dad's side of the family has an annual chicken barbecue that they get together every 4th of July around there. And smell has a way of bringing back memories. One article states that the sense of smell is so closely linked with memory that it's probably more so than any other of your senses, whether it's sight, hear, or touch. When you smell something, it brings back a memory. It brings back a memory. For me, another one of these examples is diesel truck smell. So when I go by a diesel truck that's running, and I smell the fumes, right away I go back to my childhood. My dad was a tractor-trailer driver, and one of the fond memories I have is I would be able to go with him sometimes. So I get to get up in this big tractor-trailer and sit in the passenger seat and ride around, and I think that's big stuff, you know, up in the air, looking down on these cars and stuff like that. Just having a good time with my dad, and we'd stop at the truck stop, and there'd be all these trucks lined up in a row. They're all running, and you just smell the fumes. So when I smell diesel fuel, that's what comes to my mind right away. And you can all relate to some sense, right? Whether it's the smell of food or a pie or someone's house, or you know, as soon as you step into Kennywood and you smell the fries, you know what's going on, and you remember the memories of when you got sick on the roller coaster from many years ago and stuff like that. So when the disciples get to the shore and they see the charcoal fire, there'd be the smell of the charcoal. For Peter, it was around charcoal fire when he had his great failure in his walk with the Lord. If you remember when Jesus was on trial with the chief priests and the Pharisees, and the guards are mocking and beating him, Peter's just outside in the courtyard warming himself by the charcoal fire. And it's there where a young servant girl asks him, "Are you one of his followers?" Peter says, "No." A little bit later on, some other people say, "You really sound like somebody from Galilee. You got to be one of his." He's like, "I swear to you, I do not know Jesus." A little bit later, some other people come and ask him while he's standing there, and he begins to swear. He says, "I told you, bleepity bleep, I don't know Jesus." And right there, Jesus looks over. In the midst of the ridicule and the mocking, somehow through this courtyard, Jesus is able to lock eyes with him. The third time, Peter denied him, and the rooster crowed, and Peter just begins to weep. He failed. What Jesus said was true. He failed. It was his great failure. Peter failed, but he wasn't paralyzed by it. That's what I want you to see this morning. Here in our passage, he's the first one to jump in the sea, right? John says, "It's the Lord." Peter jumps in and he just runs and swims right towards Jesus. You know, he's probably trying to get his way through the water, and you ever try to run through water, it's impossible. He's going right at Jesus. You would think if you were Peter, you'd want to hide in the boat. When John says, "It's the Lord," you think, "Oh, I'll go back here. And then maybe when you guys get on the shore, I'll scurry off." You'd think. No, he's not paralyzed by his failure. He goes right to Jesus. And next week we'll see how Jesus asks him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" But he's not paralyzed. He's not going to go hide. He's not going to quit. He goes right to Jesus. That's what I want you to focus on. So when you fail in sin like Peter's, or you messed up in ministry in some form or fashion, you don't quit. You learn the lessons of the failure. You don't become paralyzed by it. You run to Jesus. Sometimes you think, since you failed, that Jesus doesn't want you. And you don't run to Jesus, but you need to go to him. He will teach you. He will correct you. He will change you. And he will embrace you back. You can let the failure be used as a testimony to Christ's faithfulness. So go to him. Go to him with a heart seeking forgiveness, knowing you messed up. Own it. Own it. Don't say, Peter could say, "Well, I messed up because John did this. I messed up because I didn't have breakfast." You own it. Go to him and let him embrace you. Let him embrace you. And let that be a testimony. This is a testimony of Peter. He failed. Jesus didn't quit on him. He didn't quit on him. Be changed by them. And lastly, remember that the Lord is already working. He's doing his job. He will provide, he will equip, and he will encourage you. Let's close at verse 10, this text. Says, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there was so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread, gave it to them, and so with the fish. Now is the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus was already on shore. He was making breakfast, and he tells them, "Bring some of the fish you've caught." So Peter, who must be pretty strong, he goes and he grabs the net himself. It doesn't break, and he's able to somehow drag these 153 fish. If you're interested, there's all kinds of allegorical interpretations of the 153 fish. They try to figure out what's the number, you know. Some think if you multiply this number, you'll get the Trinity and the Sabbath, and maybe it refers to Ezekiel. It's a lot of interesting things. Nothing that I would hold to, but I think they just counted them just to show the grandeur of the catch, and that they just wanted to know how many that they could sell for the day, just how many they could sell that day. But Jesus just says to them, "Come, have breakfast." And he took bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Have breakfast with the resurrected Lord. You can do that. Do you do that? Sometimes we just even fail to start our day right with the Lord. Simple thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep. Help me today. But boy, if you could sit down, eat breakfast with him. Bible study, open your word, pray while you're eating, look into his word. Let him empower you. Let him refresh you. Let him get you ready for the day. Your day will go so much better. This resurrected Lord, he served these men who were failures. The resurrected Lord washed their feet earlier on, and he embraced them. And he embraced them after the resurrection. He encouraged these men who were failures. And that's what he does for his people. Jesus wasn't done with them. They were still his disciples. And he was going to use them. He was going to use them for his gospel witness. It's so refreshing and so encouraging. Because if you're like me, you just know how many times you just miss the mark. Realize the Lord's already at work. He will provide, He will equip and encourage you daily. Don't quit. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Hear Him, listen to Him, obey Him, sit and have breakfast with the risen Lord in prayer and Bible study. Be used by Him. Serve Him. Super Bowl is coming up. Super Bowl is already happening. Jesus is playing. He's a ruling and reigning king. He's rescuing people from all over the world, and He wants you to get in the game. He wants you to get in the game. He's not done with you yet. He says, don't quit. Even though you dropped that ball a couple years ago, don't quit. Even though, you know, you don't think you have the power and strength to do it, I'll give you the play, He says. I'll give you the play. The Super Bowl is happening now, and He's winning. He doesn't lose one, and you can join Him. Move forward in your walk with the Lord. Learn the life lessons from the past. Remember the moments of His great power in your own history and in the Gospels. Remember the fishing stories. Remember the lessons of failure. Be changed by them, not paralyzed by them. And know that He's already working. Let Him refresh you. Let Him equip you. Eat breakfast with Him and serve Him daily. Serve Him. Don't quit. You're not done yet. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are a resurrected Lord building Your church corporately around the world, individually in our hearts. Lord, help us not to forget Your power. Help us not to forget when we fall, that when we run to You, You will embrace us. And help us to remember to sit with You daily, to be refreshed, to be welcomed, to be encouraged, to be ready for ministry, for what You're doing. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.